So if there is contemplation of things like dosa or lopa without satipatthana, but just thinking about it, and knowing that it's not really anybody who contemplates that, it just happens that way, just thinking. So that can be a condition for panya to know the moment at some time, possibly.
Panya grows.
Yes, well, panya grows. So that could be a condition.
Expecting?
Well, because panya grows, so it could be
yes,
a condition
so
for panya to arise.
Yes, so it's just the nature
moment.
Of panya.
Right.
Only when panya arises does panya grow. Yeah. Panya doesn't grow from thinking with agusala.
Talking about suttamaya panya, chintamaya panya, bhavanamaya panya, in the text, usually, for example, in the suttas, chintamaya panya is given first before suttamaya panya. I always wonder why.
By accumulation. Children are quite different by their own accumulation. Some are very kind and some are very cruel. Some think of dana and some think about sila or have good deeds and speech by nature. At that moment, we would say that it's not by hearing from the teachings yet. So they can be thinking because we all thinking the whole day. But what is the object of thinking? Mm-hmm. What do we think about usually when there is no hearing of Dhamma yet?
Just useless concepts.
We think about what we used to think.
But if we're talking about levels of understanding and about, like now when you stress, first there has to be suttamaya panya, then chintamaya panya. In other words, one has to hear the teachings before there can be wise reflection, and there has to be wise reflection before there can be bhavana. So I wonder in the suttas, when it's stressing these levels of understanding, why they talk about chintamaya panya first, because it's not just talking about the accumulations of children who've never heard the Dharma, it's talking about reflecting on the Dharma, considering and then hearing. So I just don't know why it's in this order.
Do we have to make order? make it like this first and then that. But what is real in one's life? The accumulation of previous eons and eons, lives before even coming to think like this now. But after hearing, there is more conditions for different thinking of Dhamma, better and better.
I'd like to just put Ivan's question a slightly different way. If dosa arises and we're aware in the ordinary sense that there is dosa and we think about that dosa and think how it's not self, it's just conditioned Dhamma, is that thinking likely to be kusala?
Again, because it's impossible to clear cut what is kusala and what is akusala by thoughts only. But there must be awareness right then to understand the characteristic as just a reality before we can know better and better what is there, because it arises and falls away so fast. Like when we talk about dosa as nimitta, not just one process, but there are many processes that it can condition understanding or thinking about it, as that is a characteristic which is not pleasant at all, different from other nimitta of other realities. So by knowing this, one knows that without the direct awareness. Whatever it is, it's not the moment of understanding a characteristic as just a reality or a characteristic of a reality at all. And by not knowing reality as just a characteristic only, one at a time, it's impossible to have detachment from clinging to the idea of something or self. So the only way is the characteristic to be known with right direct awareness and right understanding at that very moment. One cannot say that just a moment of knowing a characteristic can develop to the degree that there can be detachment from, clinging from it.
And by the same token, if we have the idea that, okay, it doesn't matter if dosa arises because I can reflect on the dosa, and that'll be a level of kusala, that would even be...
That is always hoping, speculating, thinking. It's not the understanding of reality right now. That's why Buddha said that not thinking about the past and the future, but what about the understanding of reality right now? Always now.
Imagine if there is lopa and dosa, but there's no understanding what lopa and dosa is, and there's no contemplation of it as being and being taken for self, and no understanding that it's just a mental object arising, so there cannot be development of banya. Right. So to actually contemplate... contemplating those things, knowing that there's no one who contemplates, it just is contemplation because there's hearing Dhamma, there's talking about Dhamma, then dosa may arise and there's contemplating about of dosa. So there is development of conceptual wisdom at that time. So it would seem that that has... Well, we're not going to get into conditions.
I think that the truth is the truth and we don't have to repeat it, right? Conditions are conditions.
But there'd be no reason to study or to hear the Buddha's words
yes.
if it didn't condition
yeah.
wisdom arising and knowing the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So?
Well, it is the way it is. So.
Yeah. So contemplate, understand.
There's a lot of talk about Dhamma, a lot of memorization about things. But it seems like there's little appreciation of the value of the moment being known with banya.
Even that moment is conditioned.
But the reflection that you mentioned, that is a necessary condition for the development of wisdom.
Conceptual wisdom?
That reflection may occur at any time.
Right.
I don't think we can say when dosa arises, reflect on the fact that it's just conditioned, that it's not self, because that is a form of ritual, really. Sure, we have to reflect deeply on the Dhamma, but it's not that we do it at the time that we have dosa.
I have something. You know, reflection, there are so many, like Ajahn explained, so many moments of thinking, so it's so easy to mislead ourselves, because one split second there may be kusala citta which reflects, and then the next one you are attached to that reflection before we know, and it's so very hard to know all these different moments, only with satipatthana.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, we are all reflecting now. On Dhamma, because
and how many
akusala
cittas in between?
Yeah, lots of akusala
cittas. We don't know. Lots of ignorance.
Yeah.
Admittedly, Jonathan, if there is dosa and there's thinking about dosa and we think that it's just arising without anybody doing it, that's just thinking. It's not satipatthana.
It's akusala.
Yeah, it's without understanding truly that it's satipatthana.
So when you read Dhamma and you're thinking about the story of Dhamma, so it's accumulated and it could be conditioned for the future topic to arise or not?
It is. But it does mean that we have to, because even such moment is conditioned to contemplate or to think, to understand this is better than just thinking about contemplating that it would help. It is, but do we have to think? Because if there is the understanding, even that moment of thinking like that is conditioned too.
In the text on the Nimitta also, it refers to Panya that leads out of Sankara Nimitta. I think it's Bahida Sankara Nimitta. And here Nimitta is referring to the five khandhas which arise and fall away. Panya that leads out of Sankara Nimitta. Is this referring to just the understanding of the impermanence of the khandhas, which leads to detachment? Is this what it's referring to?
The jhana before the enlightened moment.
Right. Turning away from the sankhara nimitta. Okay. We're talking about namas and rupas as being so bad, especially namas, because they're impermanent.
Because it has to arise and experience.
Right.
forever when there is no
other.
Yeah.
I have a question about the cycle, being in the cycle of birth and death, to see the benefit to be out of the cycle. And we talked about that yesterday too, but I find it difficult because we are not so far yet to see the benefit to be out of the cycle as our purpose.
Right.
But I understand less defilements is good.
Right, because there is still I. Mm.
Yeah, mm. So I'm not as far as that yet to see the true purpose of understanding.
As long as there is I, we don't mind at all to be born again, reborn, and so on.
Yeah.
On the question of dukkha and how bad namas are, because they go on and on experiencing realities, one knows that dukkha refers to all conditioned dharmas, but can one say it's particularly those that are clung to that are so bad, or that just all are so bad in this sense?
If there's still clinging, it has to be like this. But when there's no clinging anymore, nothing arises.
But still during the, for example, in the life of the arahat, even when there's no clinging, they still arise. And could one say they are still so bad then, even though there's no clinging?
Otherwise, why parinibbana?
So the answer is yes, that's still so bad, regardless of whether they are...
The sankhara khanda is
dukkha. If all sankhara dharma are dukkha, as we know, why in the definition of the First Noble Truth, why does it mention upadana khanda? Why not just khanda?
Now, khanda, which is not experienced, can it be object of clinging?
No, but we're just saying that if it's not object of clinging, it's not experience, but we're saying that all dharmas, regardless of whether they are experienced or not, are just as bad. So, for example, Well, we were saying that even the arahant, for whom there's no more clinging, but still the dharmas are just as bad, that's why there's parinibbana.
Does he still concerned about the arising and falling away of sankhara dharma after his passing away?
We're talking about before his passing away. So before
does
his
he
passing
care
away?
About the arising and falling away of things?
Well, there's no clinging, so he doesn't care about them, but we can say they're still bad.
Who experienced that? If it's not experienced, completely gone. Its nature is dukkha, but it depends on who experiences it.
Right. So it seems that sometimes we say, okay, dukkha refers to all sankhara dharmas because they're all impermanent and they're all bad. But at other times, like now, when we're talking about the definition of the first truth as upadana khanda, that it just depends on who experiences them only when it's with regard to upadana. So it seems sometimes when we're defining dukkha, it's regardless of whether anyone is experiencing them, and other times only when there is clinging.
So there are two words, five khandas and five upadana khandas.
Yes. Difficult subject, because I don't know when it refers to five khandas. It's rather complicated. Why twice? Why not only upadana khanda?
The arising and falling away of all conditioned realities are dukkha, right?
Dukkha, yeah.
No exception.
Yes.
But what about the rupa which is conditioned by uttu? No one experiences it at all. Can anyone stop it arising?
No, nobody.
So no use to think about all those things which is not experienced.
But the five khandas just in the teachings.
It is. Even that is khanda.
But if it's not experienced, not upadana khanda.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there must always be upadana khanda.
And sometimes some writers say, okay, well, by upadana, what is meant is upadaniya, liable to be clung to. So those rupas conditioned by utu out there, it's not experienced, but it can be clung to. So they say upadana includes them.
Completely gone. And so there are also two meanings of upadana khana.
Yes, yes.
What is the two meanings?
Can you say, please?
The two meanings are one, as we just said, the khandhas as object of clinging.
Yes.
And the other one is the dharmas conditioned by karma, so the rupas and also nama dharmas conditioned by karma. This is the other meaning of upadana. Usually this is the first one.
Oh,
and
yes.
So this is the first one.
Yeah.
And the second one is the dharmas now that are the object of clinging. So the rupas out there, conditioned by utu, they are not upadana khanda. They're khanda, but they're not upadana khanda.
Yeah. And any khanda which is conditioned by karma, which has upadana, is still the result. So it is upadana khanda, khanda derived from upadana.
Yeah.
So when you read the text constitution and they mention upadana and upadaniya, upadaniya is often translated as liable or subject to clinging. Do you differentiate between the terms at all?
That verse means liable already. So
liable,
what about that which is not?
So liable
to upadana.
Upadana at this moment, yes.
So to upadana, finished.
Finished. Right. If it's not upadana under now, then it's not upadaniya. So it's the same.
Mm-hmm. I have a question on ignorance, because it said ignorance is ignorance about the Four Noble Truths and about the past and the future. The past and the future, I did not get what the meaning is.
Do we have the past life?
Yes.
And future life?
Right.
Sure.
We can have doubts. We are not sure yet, because we don't see the arising and falling away and the re-arising by the different conditions. So there can still be doubt. So that's also ignorance.
Is it doubt about lives, or is it doubt about the previous moment, the following moment?
Life also is reality. Without realities, can there be any life?
Yeah.
But if a person doesn't understand there's moments and there's a previous moment follow, and then there's this moment and then the next moment, that could be ignorance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it the same as understanding khanda? Once you understand khanda, it is knowing that in the past it has been and in the future it will be just the same.
Because what is khanda?
Paramatta dhammas. But only the conditioned ones.
What arises is khanda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now do we know khanda?
Not really.
But we know just the meaning of it.
Yeah.
And we can recite that khanda can be coarse or fine, can inner or outer.
Near or far.
Near, yeah.
Present or past.
The whole chapter.
And what does it mean?
The whole chapter.
Just reciting.
When you say, if it's not clung to, it cannot be understood as dukkha, the realizing of the rising and falling away must be the common one, which is the object of upadana. Can one say, if not clung to, cannot be understood as dukkha? Can one say, if it's not experienced, it cannot be understood as dukkha? Or why, if not clung to?
An arhata doesn't have any clinging at all. But what about the moment of seeing and hearing? The object can be upadana khanda or not upadana khanda. If it's conditioned by karma, which still have upadana to produce that rupa is upadana khanda in one meaning,
right.
But it cannot be upadana khanda for an arahata. Right.
And the realization of the rising falling away must be the one which is commonly the object of upadana, so it can be only understood as upadana khanda at that moment if it's the common object.
I think that when we are talking about khanda, we are better understanding the upadana khanda and the khanda, no matter at any time.
Right. It's an important point, because many writers, they don't really differentiate between khanda and upadana khanda. And the point I've been saying is, if there's no distinction, why bother to talk about khanda and upadana khanda if it's just only referring to the fact that some lokutra cittas can't be the object of upadana? Doesn't make any sense, so it has to be quite different. And when we read about the five aggregates, as the five upadana khandhas should be seen as the enemy with the drawn sword and as the burden and as the murderer and this kind of thing, can one say that about the khandhas?